composition of the board, number two. And again, it just makes sure that it's clear that the RU manager or designee is a must be a member of the quorum for the review board when they are looking at use of force incidents. And so the final one is on page four, and it really just deletes a sentence that no longer applies since the RU manager will be a voting member. And that's page four, section D, access to information, number two. So those are the changes. If you have any questions about those changes.
Discussion from council? Questions from council?
And those are in the current proposal we're voting on. We don't need to amend those then.
Well, I think the problem was that we had not clarified those in the exhibit, and it's my understanding that you do have to vote on these.
Separately.
Separately, yes.
As an amendment?
Yes.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion on the amendments. Carl, would you please?
I have it's not related to the amendments, but I guess a question I'd like to ask. There was $200,000 in our budget we approved for the new independent police review functions. What's that money being used for?
That was actually set aside and
for to recruit a facilitator or to hire a facilitator for the board, and that's a new piece of the board.
$200,000. Well, I'm just reading in the ordinance it says there's going to be a list of facilitators.
We're in the process of recruiting a list right now. So we have an RFP out there.
Okay, so what's the $200,000? To be used for? You said it's a set aside.
To pay for facilitation services. It's not literally one facilitator because we don't know how many we'll need at one time. It's a pre-approved list of facilitators for this specific purpose that have the qualifications for this specific purpose. And they will be paid for from the fund in the mayor's proposed.
And is it estimated that $200,000 is what's needed, or are you saying that's more or less what's set aside and may not all be used?
It's what's set aside. It's what's set aside only. My understanding is the whether a retainer is needed or simply paid by the hour is part of the RFP process. And I'm sure as part of the next year's budget, as we debrief on this and other things, the auditor will be able to come forward with, is that too much, too little?
So that's the only purpose of the $200,000 set aside?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Okay. We're on the vote on the amendment. Please call the vote.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment is approved. We'll now open it up to public testimony. How many people have signed up?
Did not have a sign-up sheet for that.
Okay. Raise your hand if you'd like to testify. All right. Why don't we start with you and Dan and Andrea, will get you as cleanup, yes. Last but not least. Hi, thanks for waiting.
Good morning.
Welcome back, I think, for each of you to the City Council. Please begin.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. I am Betsy Pratt, President of the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League urges Council to consult with the Citizen Review Committee, CRC, and the Police Oversight Stakeholder Committee before making any substantive changes to the makeup of the new Police Review Board. We don't have any objection to the housekeeping portion of the ordinance that sunsets the existing review boards on September 1st. Altering the makeup of the new Police Review Board and use of forces cases, however, should not be done without soliciting the opinions of the CRC and the Stakeholder Committee. Our particular concern is that the Independent Police Review Division, IPR, is proposing that the involved officer's supervising commander be a voting member of the review board in use of force cases. The Police Assessment Resource Center, or PARC, the agency contracted by the city to evaluate closed cases of shootings and deaths in custodies, in its 2003 and 2006 reports specifically recommended that the supervising commander serve as a non-voting member of the board reviewing use of force cases. They point out that since that commander is the individual responsible for formulating the findings in the case, there is an inherent conflict of interest when the commanding supervisor is a voting member of the board. In light of the conflict between the outside experts' recommendations and the IPR proposal, this issue deserves careful consideration by the CRC and the stakeholder committee. The CRC's own park review work group reviewed in detail many of the consultants' recommendations, but did not devote any attention to this one. In other words, it's not had the full public hearing that it deserves. CRC members have extensive experience reviewing misconduct cases, and three of them serve or have served on existing review boards. Before making a decision on this proposal, IPR and City Council should seek their advice, knowing it's based on firsthand experience. Furthermore, Council charged the Stakeholder Committee with reviewing the IPR ordinance and recommending additional changes. We urge you to respect the role of that committee and direct IPR to discuss the proposed changes with the committee before bringing them to the City Council. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Ms. Brown.
Good morning. Ditto. I'm so glad she went first. Very, very eloquently stated. I chair the BAC, the Bureau Advisory Committee, and we have been consistent on our support for community policing, and accountability is a piece of that that is necessary. When we came and testified before this emergency ordinance change, we noted that the number one issue that many people in the audience was uncomfortable with was the composition of that same board. The imbalance between citizen and bureau members. And while it's been addressed, I don't think this is going to do much of anything to engender trust and credibility with this process when you have a supervising officer who prepares the report voting on the credibility of the report. We're talking about use of deadly force. We're talking about highly volatile situations. The public is just not going to believe this process. We are all trying to heal, and we're all trying to engender trust in this process, and I think this is a big step backwards. I understand the need to fix things for the September 1st deadline so that we can recruit the citizens we want, but that has nothing at all to do with whether the RU manager votes or not. This is not a time-sensitive issue, and this is such an important issue that we would hate to see it rush through. Sitting in a stakeholders meeting with 30 people that you have been invited to comment on this process, and to have Commissioner Leonard, the IPR director, and I think the city auditor was there that same day, not say one word about this change to us really disturbs me. You have given us a charge. Please let us do our work. At the end of it, if we decide, if the body as a whole says this is a good idea, then I think I'll just have to swallow it. But not even going through that process after you've given us this work is frankly insulting. You've picked really good people. Give us an opportunity to look at this and decide whether or not we want this. It is trust and credibility. The BAC has commented before on hiring consultants and then not taking their advice. Park is probably one of the most reputable in the country for police accountability and professional police standards. They have clearly said that the supervising officer cannot be a voting member of this board. I think their verbiage was that it's like giving them two bites of the apples. I think that's what they said. So I would recommend that you read Park's report and please adhere to it. This needs more time and more citizen input on it. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Handelman.
Good morning, Mayor and City Council. I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. We appreciate another chance to testify on this issue. We're worried that the replacement ordinance that you have further codifies the substantive problem rather than setting it aside for further discussion. You've already heard from several other organizations that are concerned about this, that are participating in the stakeholder work group. By bypassing the stakeholder committee, it causes concerns that this group was put together to be window dressing rather than make substantive changes to the IPR ordinance that was passed March 31, which is why we thought we were called together. We also have no problem if you want to put in a sunset clause for the old boards and change over to the new boards on September 1st. We don't understand the argument that a supervisor of this officer in question is being held accountable by their vote, which we've heard from both the chief and from the IPR, by being at the table. If they vote no and the other members of the board vote yes, that supervisor is still saying, no, I don't agree this officer should be disciplined. So there's no actual holding of accountability to this supervisor. In terms of Commissioner Leonard said that the City Council does not want to dictate to the Bureau who sits on that board. What if the Bureau decided the officer, under scrutiny, was going to be a voting member of the board? Certainly you would object to that. So there are certain reasons that some people should not sit on that board, and the park made it clear that the supervisor should not be one. We've also heard that the Bureau has changed since this ordinance went in place, and there's a new sheriff in town, to coin a phrase. But we cannot make policy by personality. Just because there's a new person in charge doesn't mean that the policy of having this RU commander not vote is better because there's a new chief. We also feel that this decision was made behind closed doors. This is exactly how the first ordinance changes were done. And the reason was given for doing that behind closed doors was that you wanted to get this before the council so that the Bureau wouldn't have time to react to it. And now you're doing it because the Bureau is supporting it. So both cases, the community has been cut out of the process. So now that it's an emergency ordinance, it only takes one of you to say no and to uphold public process. It only takes one of you to vote no today to derail this now. And I think that it would be really important to make a statement that the stakeholder committee has some purpose for one of you to vote no today. And I also just want to point out that one of the reasons given last week by Commander Dave Benson, who works with the Police Commanding Officers Association, was that their union thinks that it's an issue that's subject to bargaining if you make a commander who's not in charge of the officer participate in voting. This is an advisory vote. The chief and the police commissioner still have the final say, and we don't see how it could possibly be a negotiating point. But even if it were, you could write this ordinance the same way that you wrote the IPR ordinance and say, unless there is a conflict with the union agreement. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate your testimony. All right, Ms. Meyer, anybody else?
I might have written testimony that will be. Good morning, Mayor Adams, Commissioners Andrea Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon. I'm not going to focus on the substantive change that's before you, but rather the procedural and the concern I have. And I very much want to recognize Commissioner Leonard and the sincerity of which you are approaching this particular change in this issue. But I feel it's our role to bring with the same level of sincerity our deep concern that this has unintended effects to undermine the process. As you've heard, many people testified before council, and I was very appreciative of the Commissioner Leonard putting forward the stakeholder group and inviting ACLU. As my letter notes, I was also particularly pleased to see John Campbell brought forward. And this group has been meeting, and I know that part of their agenda, so to speak, is including the Police Review Board structure. It's number 4 in the list of, I believe, 8 or so topic areas that we're trying to grapple with under 6 areas that we're trying to grapple with under pretty short order. I know there's no intention to undermine the work that the stakeholder group is doing, but I'm here to say I'm very concerned that it will do that. As was discussed at the last meeting of the stakeholder group, there's a level of trust in people coming together for the first time. And there is, if you look at the list of participants, not only the community and government, but also numerous members of the police bureau in their different capacities. That is a unique situation, and I appreciate, again, the perspective of the proponents of this, but I urge the opportunity in honoring the perspective that we have. It should have been brought forward to us so that we could have, with all due respect, said, we think one part of that is housekeeping, but indeed, some of us have a different perspective that should be talked about. The various perspectives, including Commissioner Leonard's perspective that you've articulated today in your intro as to why you're promoting it, should be at the table, as well as Dave Benson, Police Bureau, and he is at the table, as well as the community involvement. And only then, after full airing, ultimately it is up to council to decide what you will change. But that wasn't what was done. And these meetings will continue. I've sent the letter to all the stakeholders. You've heard from other groups who also wrote. I really urge you, and respectfully to do this, to say, let's just take a step backwards because we don't want to create unintended consequences. Let's change the date, but let's leave this for further discussion. And ultimately, as I said, for council decision, the stakeholder group has a pretty short time period, so you'll have the issues before you soon enough. I appreciate the opportunity to speak today, and really I hope that we can move forward and bring some trust back to this, because again, I'm worried what's going to happen after this vote. Thank you.
So if I could ask you a question. Absolutely. So you said that wasn't done? What is that that wasn't done?
I'm sorry, a number of things weren't done. So the issue wasn't even, the stakeholder group met on a Thursday, and at least one member of the stakeholders group was notified on Friday that this ordinance was coming before you last week. So the stakeholder group wasn't even told about the ordinance. I've never been notified by other than a coalition partner, although I'm on the stakeholder group. And so not only were we not told, we were not given the language, we were not provided the explanation as to the reasons for it, and given the opportunity to say, we agree, we disagree, we have a problem. If that had been done, and indeed we all were in concurrence that this was an appropriate change, I would not be here today.
And the appropriate change meaning the issue around the RU manager?
Correct.
Okay, just composition of the committee.
Not the September date, not the change in the date. There's two aspects.
Or the number on the committee and things like the number of members on the committee. You're just concerned about the one voting member being the...
I'm concerned with any change in the ordinance that is reflected other than the date change. My understanding was we've got two changes. We've got the date change, right? Is that... I'm asking for... And then we have a board makeup in terms of the RU manager and designee.
Okay.
I'm not sure that there was another, as Commissioner Leonard articulated, there are two changes and only one with the board. Not change in number, change in makeup only. So I consider that the substantive change to the ordinance as opposed to the date change. And I think that's consistent with what everyone prior to me was articulating. So I think we're all in a shared agreement about both not objecting to the date change, but objecting to the board reconfiguration change. Set.
Okay, so and the committee you said met on a Thursday and then didn't know of
correct.
The RU manager change.
The committee wasn't even told that there was even an ordinance being, it was I think 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, that we were not informed that there was a matter being brought to council. I was not. I can only speak for myself and I was attending the hearing, so the stakeholder meeting. So the stakeholder group was not told that there was even an ordinance, let alone what was in the ordinance. So we weren't given heads up.
Okay. So this is a first reading?
Am I correct? Second.
And I couldn't be here last
week. It's a first reading on the amendment, and we put an emergency clause on. So there won't be another.
We heard it last week. While you were
and talking. Commissioner Saltzman, I wasn't able to attend last week because, again, I only learned about it.
There last week.
Yes.
Okay.
Learned about it shortly before that.
Thanks,
okay.
Ms. Meyer. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. My name is Rochelle Silver, and I am a member of the Citizen Review Committee. But I'm here this morning to speak for myself and not speaking for the committee. Yeah, I would respectfully urge you to give citizens the opportunity to review this proposed amendment and to provide you input. The Citizen Review Committee was not made aware of this proposed amendment. I only heard about it myself through an email from CopWatch. And we have at least three members who have been members of the performance and use of force boards, who I'm sure may have some input for you on this matter. Also, our chair, the CRC chair, has asked that this matter be placed on the agenda of the next stakeholders meeting, which I believe is sometime in July. So overall, in general, I'm just asking that you would please consider waiting on this matter to allow for citizen input. Thank you.
Thank you both very much. Auditor Griffin Vallee.
So I'd like to also, before our Griffin Vallee and Constantine respond, make clear a couple things. The Police Review Board is an advisory board to the police chief and the commissioner in charge of police. They don't decide on discipline. They make recommendations as to discipline. To me, the issue in drafting the ordinance that the council passed reforming police oversight was not who the police bureau chose as its representatives, but rather whether or not they should be able to pick the citizens that sit on the review board. And I think most of us accept the police bureau. agreed that it was inappropriate to have the police bureau pick the citizens. Notwithstanding, I'll have the council remember testimony from the police bureau to the contrary, and are quite public about why they thought their judgment as to who the citizen should be should not be second-guessed. There was that. Two, and whether or not the IPR director should be a member of the review board. And to me, a change today that involved either of those two memberships would be, in fact, a substantive change and would have caused from me it wouldn't have even ended up in front of the committee we're talking to because I wouldn't have agreed to it in the first place. The reason that it didn't come up to the committee, and I attend the committee meetings, is I truly believe this is an administrative change without consequence. In retrospect, I'm not sure why we shouldn't have just written three police bureau members shall make up the police review board, and a citizen, two citizens appointed by the auditor, confirmed by the council, and a member of the IPR board. The IPR director should be a sitting and voting member. And the reason I say that is this. Part of my preparation in bringing forward the ordinance was to review different processes throughout the United States of oversight committees of police departments. I did not write the ordinance that we have in a vacuum, but rather not only looked at ordinances throughout the United States and talked to different locales, but also analyze what happened after they passed the ordinances. In other words, what was the impact on oversight? What was the impact on transparency in those police departments? And how did those police departments react to that new transparency? And I learned a couple of things. One was in citizen oversight committees, the primary view by the professionals in the field of police oversight services found that they generally tend to find themselves in one or two places. Now, this is as opposed to a professional independent review board or oversight. But in citizen review committees, you either had a group of citizens who were uniformly antagonistic toward the police department to the extent that they isolated themselves and they became ineffective in oversight because it was assumed they would be opposed and objecting to everything that that particular police department did in that locale. Or the other end of the spectrum was, and interestingly, I found nothing in the middle, the other end of the spectrum was police citizen oversight committees that generally were appointed by the police departments or where the police department had some influence became so pro-police that they had no credibility with the community. So I wasn't interested in either of those. What I was trying to find was a balance, and I think we did that, where you could get the citizenry to buy in and you could get the police department to buy in. Well, that didn't happen in drafting the ordinance. They were opposed to virtually every aspect of this ordinance. So as I said, we drafted what we drafted in a complete vacuum from the police bureau. The new police chief wants to make this work, and not because of his personality. In fact, he's actually said he wants substantive changes to occur that happen as part of a process that outlive whoever a particular police chief might be, that be there to be there permanently. He's the person that's going to be receiving the recommendations from this review board, and I don't want that police chief to dismiss them as out of hand or dismiss them as not credible because the police department has no say in who it is that represents them. That would be a mistake in my view. So the reason I didn't bring this up at the review committee is because I didn't even think to bring it up. It truly hit me as an administrative change. If they decided they wanted Officer X versus Officer Y beyond the committee, that was fine with me as long as the structure itself remained in place and the balance continues the way it does. Now, having said that, if the group that we've appointed wants to discuss this further, their charge, and it's been real clear, is to write a series of recommendations to the council. That was their charge. Not to write an ordinance, not to say what we were going to do with any promise that whatever they said would happen in terms of us passing an ordinance, but they are to write a series of recommendations. And to make sure that their recommendations are as credible as can be, I sit at the table, the auditor sits at the table, and something refreshing that I've noticed as of late, the police chief sits at the table. And I think this is a fine topic to have on the agenda, and had I known that it was going to be discussed like this, I would have brought it up at the last meeting. But if this is something that we want to focus on, I think we ought to focus on it. But I will continue saying what I'm saying, which is make sure that we produce a set of recommendations that are in the real world and actually get us to the place where we have credible police oversight without finding ourselves at one of these two ends of the spectrum where we marginalize police oversight. I don't want that to happen in Portland. I want buy-in from not only the citizens, but the police bureau as well.
So does that mean you're willing to perhaps just move ahead with the deadline extension and give the committee a chance to look at the RU issue?
No, I think we should continue with it, the ordinance as we have, allow this system to begin operating as of September 1st, gain some credibility. And as I've said at the committee a number of times, I think one of the group's work should be to develop an oversight in the long term to measure how the new ordinance is functioning. And if this becomes an issue where the IPR director and the citizens appointed by the auditor determine that it isn't functioning as well as it could be, it should be part of what we review down the road. But I want this to have every chance to succeed, and not just from CopWatch's perspective or ACLU's perspective or the police bureau's perspective, but from everybody's perspective. And the police bureau is an important part of this working well. They have to. And Commissioner Saltzman, you more than anybody here should appreciate this. They have to at least feel as though they're listened to and respected in terms of how this is going to work for them to buy into this process. And I want everybody to buy in, and I want over the long term for us to be able to adjust and make changes as this group moves ahead that we've formed as we see them come up. But I think we ought to give it every chance to succeed at first, and that means the police bureau said this is an important point for us. We'd like this person to be off the committee, and in that police officer's replacement should be this person. I think we ought to do it.
And I guess I generally buy that, but then somebody brought up the fact that the Park report specifically recommended.
May I address that, please? Yep. Okay, that was brought up in the 2003 report, not subsequent reports, as I understand it. Is that correct, Constantine?
There's a reference to it in the 2006 report.
But the CRC has a work group that it's met for several years. They're going to present a report to you in mid-July that in which they looked at all of the Park reports and drew from those reports formal recommendations to make to you. None of those recommendations include anything about the RU commander being a voting member of the board, which, as a reminder, and I know you weren't here last week.
None of the Park recommendations or none of the CRC committee?
None of the CRC work group that studied all of those reports makes that recommendation.
Is that final, their report?
Yes. It's been approved by CRC and is final. So as a reminder, and I forgot that you were not here last week, so I apologize, but this ordinance is trying to do two things, which I can also consider to be administrative. One is to create a real process to allow us to develop the prepare for a September 1 starting date for the new police review board. The current two boards, the performance board and the use of force board, they currently have the RU commander as a voting member. In addition to the tremendous changeover in the bureau, Chief Reese and his command staff have made a compelling case about the negative impact of removing the direct supervisor input, and they've pledged directly to me and directly to IPR staff a commitment to accountability and demonstrated that commitment through their actions and cooperation, and I think they've shown good faith. It's a reminder that we are now sitting members of the police review board and we're voting members, and we will be there monitoring. And if it's not working, as Commissioner Leonard alluded to, we will come back before you at another time and say we want to change. I've also committed to having an independent review by an outsider a year after implementation of the police review board, and I will, in fact, do that. This is an advisory board. The changes of the ordinance that you approved on March 31st not only create IPR as a voting member, but created the facilitator and the at least twice a year report. So this change is recommended in a vacuum where transparency and accountability have been strengthened. So it is ultimately your decision, of course.
Which change is being
both changes really, but specifically focusing on the change of having, and it's only a change from the original. The March 31st ordinance. It isn't a change from current practice.
And then, the issue again. Park Report did or did not specifically recommend against this idea.
The 2003 Park Report made a reference to when involved, because the 2003 Park Report was dealing with officer-involved shootings and in-custody deaths. In those particular cases, it recommended that a non-commanding officer or the involved officer be on a review board. But in performance cases, which is the vast majority of the Police Review Board's work, and in other type of use of force cases, the Park report saw the benefits of having the manager of the bureau officer involved in the case due to performance type issues and being able to be up to speed and give recommendations to the chief.
In cases of officer involved shooting in custody death, they recommended not having the
that was their recommendation because of their concerns about potential for conflict of interest. But it's also necessary to look at the context that the 2003 Park Report was written in, because back then there was a review level committee where it was three assistant chiefs and the RU commander. One of the major recommendations of the Park Report at that particular time was that there be a civilian member of the police or of the review level committee, which became the Performance Review Board and now the Police Review Board. And not just a regular civilian, but like a civilian with a lot of knowledge about the issue. And I think one of the major steps forward with the ordinance that was passed on March 31st was actually having the IPR director being appointed as a civilian member, as somebody who has kind of knowledge of these cases from basically the beginning to, when it gets before the board. And also having the civilian, the citizen member appointed by council with the auditor putting that person's name forward. So I think it's a very different context, particularly with the Police Review Board being an advisory member to the chief. And one of the important things that we got as IPR staff, Mayor Beth and myself, in our conversations with bureau members subsequent to the ordinance being passed, was that not having the RU commander as a voting member was something that would be detrimental to the effectiveness of the Police Review Board, because it's important for the chief in making his decision to kind of have a diversity of opinion. So with the citizen member, with IPR, with our own kind of respective place in these types of issues, as well as having the RU commander who in some cases knows the officer, obviously knows the officer, but kind of knows the background, has done the findings memo in reviewing the investigation done by IED, putting that together in a packet, and is actually usually, aside from the Internal Affairs Division and IPR director, probably the most informed person about that case. So it's necessary to kind of have somebody with that level of information, that level of knowledge, be present at the table as not a deciding vote or even a plurality of the vote, but as one important voice. So the chief can kind of have that range of information that he's going to need as kind of the manager of the bureau to make his decision on what he's going to do with that officer. And also actually critically important for not just the police chief, but also the police commissioner to kind of have that voice when they kind of get the report of the facilitator of what was said at the police review board meeting and, kind of hearing the divergent opinions. And I think if you kind of leave the ordinance in place as it is, where it's the RU command or just kind of the revolving RU commander who's not the supervisor of the officer, I don't think you're going to get the same level of in-depth knowledge, because they're going to just get this report probably. They try to do a good job, so several weeks, maybe a month before, and they'll just kind of read it, as opposed to the RU commander who's put together the report and who kind of understands the issues kind of at a base level. So I think if council decides not to approve this amendment, I think it does a disservice to the Police Review Board system.
All right, thank you.
Comment?
Yep.
With respect, I don't think the decision about whether the RU commander is a member, a voting member or not, is nearly as important as the trust issue. And I'm seeing folks in representatives from the League of Women Voters, the Bureau Advisory Committee, Portland Cop Watch, ACLU, and the Citizens Review Committee fit to be tied in the audience because they'd like to comment on some of the things that are being said. And we had this tremendous sense of hope after the March 31st hearing, where we felt that citizens under your leadership, Commissioner Leonard, were coming together on the stakeholder group with your support, Auditor Griffin Vallade, to actually talk about this stuff and to come to some agreement. And now what we've heard from multiple stakeholders is they feel that trust has been breached. And with respect, this is your ordinance. So you could, if you wanted to, hold it over for a while and see whether you could maybe talk to the committee after and bring it back again. We've added the emergency clause on it. I think would be a real shame to give the committee, the stakeholder committee and the Citizens Review Committee, the impression that their viewpoint doesn't matter. And I respect that both you, Auditor, and Commissioner Leonard believe that this was a housekeeping amendment. We have heard that that's not how it's viewed in the community. And I would encourage you to think about the trust issue and the bigger picture as well as this amendment, which, as I said, I think it can be argued either way as to whether the responsible commander should be a voting member or not. I don't think that's as important as the trust issue.
Well, I was caught off guard a little bit by the emergency clause. I will say that, but I respect your intention when you did that. So I'm fairly much a novice with regard to dealing with all the procedures here, and so I the only thing I think it's obviously it's unfortunate that this is perceived in such a way. I do understand the concerns of some of the community members. Again, I've been convinced that a decision to keep direct supervisors in voting as voting members of the Police Review Board ultimately strengthens the accountability that we're trying to strengthen. So there's that piece of it. The stakeholder group, again, as I mentioned last week, it's my understanding that they were brought together to talk about a number of issues, not just the Police Review Board, a number of police oversight issues, and bring forth recommendations to council. They still could talk about this issue of the RU commander being a voting member. There's nothing to preclude them from doing that. So, but the bottom line for me is that in terms of practicality, in order to be able to move forward with having the review board start on September 1st, that's the most important part of this, and I do see this as part of that.
So we could do that separately. I would move that change.
Move what change?
The change to starting on September, whatever the date is.
First.
I'm unclear what you're saying.
I am too. I'm sorry.
I'm unclear what you're saying.
We can do that change, which everybody agrees is a good thing to do, without doing the change with the composition of the board.
Well, first of all, let's make one thing clear. I added the emergency clause at your request.
Yes.
So implied in that was that because I was resistant to doing that last week and having a second hearing today and voting in on it today and then having it take effect in 30 days from today was that you were going to vote for it.
I haven't said I won't.
Well, that will be the second time that's happened up here, and I will tell you that in my experience, just in my experience, having been in a legislative body since 1993, when members of a legislative body offer an amendment, and then, let me finish, please, and then vote against the very bill they amended, that usually doesn't create trust amongst their colleagues. That's happened once already. If you suggested last week that I added an emergency clause for the purpose of killing this, or let me finish, please, killing this ordinance today, that will be twice. The old adage, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me, I will take responsibility for that, but it won't happen a third time, that I promise you. So just to reiterate what I said earlier, this ordinance originally came before you because of the commitment the auditor and I had to create transparency at the police bureau that we believed did not exist. When I met with this group the first time that we appointed after the passage of the ordinance, and they wanted to know what is it that we're here for? What are we supposed to accomplish? What is it we are supposed to accomplish? I was apolitical in my answer. I didn't give the typical political answer that, oh yeah, we want you to give recommendations and we're going to look at them hard. I was really clear. I said, if you guys get off on the wrong track and you come up with a series of recommendations that don't meet the real world, I will not support them. Because in the end, I have to introduce something and it has to be credible. So I will tell you that I have a lot of respect for Dan. In fact, the previous police chief accused me of being too close to Dan Handelman, that I just parroted whatever Dan said. That's how much I listen to Dan, and he probably is shocked to hear that. I've worked with Andrea Myers since my days in the legislature. I've always respected her, oftentimes agree to her, even to my own political detriment. I'm often a lone vote or one of a minority. But you guys don't represent the community, having said that, and I know that. The community is a large and diverse group of people, oftentimes who don't have the opportunity to even watch these proceedings on television. So I have to use my judgment as to what it is that I think is in the best interest of the entire community, and not just people who say they represent the entire community, because I know the difference, with all due respect. And the fact of the matter is, I want to point out what our auditor said, bring a highlight to it, and to what Constantine said. We want this ordinance to work. I brought this ordinance forward with some resistance from sitting council members. And what I'm telling you now is, in that same spirit, I'm asking that you approve this change in order that we get off on the best foot possible, because in my opinion, this will give the IPR the best chance to succeed in cooperating with the police bureau. And it gives the police bureau no room to argue that they weren't listened to. And I don't want to hand them an argument unwittingly that undermines what everybody's trying to accomplish.
So there appears to be unanimity in terms of the date. There appears to be a tie in terms of the substantive change, or the change of having the RU manager on the council. How would
we
you
won't
like
know that till we vote?
That's based on my poll. We can take it all the way to the vote if you
I
want.
I just assume have a vote.
Okay. Then, Carla, please call the vote on the amended emergency ordinance.
Saltzman?
Well, I'm fine with the deadline extension. And, you know, I understand a lot of the points Commissioner Leonard's making about, you know, who is the community. But, you know, I think Commissioner Fritz's point about the particular change on the RU manager coupled with the park recommendation gives me pause and think it wouldn't hurt to run that by the committee, give them a chance to either sign off on it or not. So I guess I would prefer that course of action. And therefore, I would vote no.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for bringing back the changes. And there are more changes in this than I noticed last week. And I'm very happy to be the last check off on ordinances between the first hearing on March 18th and the second hearing on March 31st. There were 110 changes that I counted in that ordinance. So I'm raising that issue to illustrate when you rush things without proper citizen review, you don't have as many eyes on them, and you don't catch the things that citizens would catch. And you, if you didn't ask the committee, they had no way to know that this was coming forward and that they didn't think it was a housekeeping concern. So I'm very troubled by the choice to move forward with this. Given the fact that so many of the stakeholders are telling you that this is a breach of trust and that this is going to make it harder to move forward. Having said that, on the substance of the issue, and Commissioner Leonard, in spite of your threat, not because of your threat, I am deferring to the new chief of police on this, and that he believes that it will be helpful to have a voting, to have his command officer as a voting member. I still want more advice from the Citizens Advisory Committee and the Bureau Advisory Committee and the stakeholders group, and we can change this again because it is now on the agenda. It can be changed back again. As a practical matter, I believe that since there's only about 17 command officers, they're obviously going to be talking to each other all the time, and they have regular discussions on policy. So the thought that a non-commanding officer is going to have a different view than a commanding officer, I don't quite understand that. I would like to hear more about the Park report and why that particular choice was recommended by them on our police bureau. But our new chief has asked for this change, and I believe that he should have the ability to be able to move forward as he sees fit. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want a full airing. I want there to be a venue for a full and complete airing of these types of issues, and I think paramount to ensuring that full airing is that the RU, specific RU manager, needs to be at the table. We can, I believe, judge performance in the future as to whether those discussions truly are robust and there truly is significant agreement and disagreement as part of those discussions specific to that case. We have to be able to dig deep on these specific issues in order to develop, to reinforce a culture of continuous improvement with the police bureau and to fortify that culture of continuous improvement. So having looked at the previous Park reports, and I do agree with Constantine's sort of description of how their report, how their recommendations are analogous and how they're different, I'm going to support this. I'd like to get this going.
Mayor Adams.
Yep.
I'd like to move to change my vote from yes to no and reconsider the vote by which item 963 failed.
The chair recognizes Commissioner Leonard's request to change his vote from yes to no and further recognizes his proposal to reconsider this item
and to my motion.
To your motion.
I will if the council adopts the motion to reconsider the vote, I will ask to remove the emergency ordinance, ask that it be heard for a second reading post July 1st when the group gets together next, and then have the second reading the first date, the first Wednesday, as close to the July 1st date as possible after we meet. Whichever that is, Carla, I'm not sure. I think July 1st is a Thursday, so it'd be the following Wednesday.
We're not having a meeting that.
And the following, what's the next
the
one?
The 14th of July?
Yes.
You what time certain?
Well, I need to pass my motion first.
So the motion, can you summarize the motion again? Sorry.
It's to move to reconsider the vote by which
that's one motion.
Item 963 failed.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to reconsider the vote. Carla, can you please call the vote on the reconsideration motion?
Saltzman?
Yeah, I'm fine with the thrust of this. So I guess I'm just parliamentary. Can you just change your vote from a
yes,
aye to a no?
Robert's rules allow you to change your vote if you do so before the announcement of the result of the vote.
And if you're recognized by the chair.
And if you voted yes.
Well, no, I know that part.
Voted in the majority.
Yeah, okay. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard. This is an elegant solution. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. All right, so we are now reconsidering.
Mayor Adams.
Yes, this item.
963 is before us. I move to remove the emergency clause.
The motion's been made to remove the emergency clause. Carl, would you, it's been seconded. Carl, would you please call the vote?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. All right. And this is continued until, unless there are objections, this is continued until what day, Carla?
Was it the 14th? Was
14th of July.
Is that the first Wednesday after the July 1st date that we'll have council?
That okay. We're having a meeting.
July 14th, mm-hmm. Yeah.
At what time?
Time certain. We could do probably 3 o'clock.
Okay, 3 o'clock, as on the said.
On the 14th of July.
We could just have it on the regular agenda.
We have an evening hearing?
It's a second. I'm sorry?
Isn't there an evening hearing on the 14th?
We're meeting on the 14th.
Are we meeting in the evening?
No, that's at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Just the regular agenda on the morning meeting.
Regular agenda then.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm sorry. May I ask a procedural question?
Okay.
Whenever. Whatever.
Is there objection to continuing? Unless there is objection to continuing to this time and date, is there an objection?
It's not an objection. It's a reality that in order to move forward with our recruitment of community members and some other sorts of procedures and processes that we need to have in place so that the board can actually start on September 1st. I don't want to be presumptuous, but I heard clear support for that as a start date and sunsetting of the other two boards. And I don't, in reality, in order to be able to do all of that and get it done,
if I were you,
may I just move forward?
If I were you, I would move forward.
Okay.
There is a question, of course, until this council
right.
votes as to that one position. But
if everybody, the effective movement in the emergency clause is a unanimous vote is not required, a majority of those present with at least three votes. Three people voted yesterday. I can't predict that that will mean that on the 14th, but I would think that that would be an indication.
But to finish my thought, you can go ahead with the recruitment. There's nothing that stops you from doing the recruitment for and requesting applications.
Okay, excellent.
So continued as noted. All right, that gets us to the item that was pulled. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 926?
Amend intergovernmental agreement with TriMet for Fairless Square extension, adding 0.12% to reflect the change in consumer price index for Portland during 2009.
Sorry to keep you waiting.
Gave me time to come down from my World Cup drama.
Yes.
Wasn't that great?
So,
hopefully you weren't DVRing that.
Could you please introduce yourself?
I'm Dan Bauer with the Bureau of Transportation.
And just to expedite things, Commissioner Fritz, can you please pose your question or concern and see what your response is?
Well, thank you for staying to watch Democracy in Action all morning. My concern is that this motion provides more money to TriMet for Fairless Square. However, because it's now the free rail area rather than Fairless Square, citizens are actually getting less free service than before. So this would have us paying more for less.
Okay. There's as with everything, there's a short story and a long story. So I'll start with a short story. If you want to keep digging, we can. But we've entered into a contract with TriMet since 2001 to pay for lost revenue for Fairless Square. This is the same contract we've had with them since that time. That contract stipulates that it just goes up by the cost of living or consumer price index each year. So this adjustment reflects the cost of living increase from 2009. To your question about less service versus more service, what we looked at last year when the council adopted this contract is that very issue of if the buses are gone, why are we continuing to pay TriMet? The analysis that we did jointly with TriMet and Lloyd District demonstrated that there's a very, first of all, this contract is just for Lloyd District extension of Fairless Square. It does not involve downtown bus service. So that's a key distinction.
Yes.
The reason
that was
it
was only the rail before that this paid for.
Lloyd District had rail and bus, but there are very few people who ride from Lloyd to downtown or vice versa on bus in Fairless Square.
Does that make sense? Did it apply to buses from Lloyd to downtown?
Right. Oh, so that relatively minor number of people who were making that trip from Lloyd to downtown on bus for free has been more than offset by additional riders on the Green Line.
Yeah. Max? Okay. I'm done. Thank you very much. That makes a lot of sense.
All right. Unless someone wants to testify on this matter, Carla, would you please call the vote on emergency ordinance item number 926?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't notice this till midnight last night, because otherwise I'd ask the question ahead of time. Aye.
Adams?
Thank you. Aye.
And I have one more thing. I move to suspend the rules to give less than 2 weeks' notice and to hold the IPR hearing for the report next week on June 30th at 6 p.m. I understand this is okay with all the schedulers and with Auditor Griffin Villade.
Second. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you. Aye.
Adams?
Aye. We are adjourned for the week.
What is that hat?
Quite a day. What's it's my hat.
What hat?